It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh**. It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening or watching Davin's Den, the show that is better than getting called a moron. So, on this show, anybody's apt to be called a moron. You could join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com and clicking live broadcast. You can also watch us on the Davin's Den page on Facebook, and that's via Zoom. I am your host, Davin Rosenblatt, the man without a picture is here. Hello, Joe.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
We're fine, and of course,
hey, Joe.
Pip Helix. Hello, Pip.
Hi, everybody.
Joe will. Joe is efforting to get the video up. See, this is why we do it with the phones and the Zoom, because this way the show can still happen even when we have various technical difficulties, and Joe is having one of those technical difficulties as happens.
But soon, I believe that he's there.
What? Yeah.
Do you believe?
Yeah, I feel his presence.
It's cold. I believe I'm here.
See?
I was asking you, Joe.
Look, Pip, use your nose. You can smell the nastiness in the room.
I'm keeping up with this show.
All right. Joe, get yourself settled in here. We'll handle it, and soon we'll see your little picture, your little face. On the show, a news anchor gets in trouble for being annoyed that obese people get priority for vaccine shots. School of Fools, a white woman gets in trouble for being called the N-word. She should know better. Students get expelled because their mom posts on OnlyFans. We'll give you some of the 2020 scam stats. It's not good. We'll tell you some of the new scammer techniques, what they're doing, how you can protect yourselves. Although we always do that. We'll go through it. An outstanding display of spite. Another outstanding display of spite. And this one involves the insurrection. And, of course, we have scamming scammers. That, so much more. So much more to talk to you guys. We thank you guys for joining us. So, Pip, what is going on?
Well, I finally broke free of living like a hermit for I don't even know how many weeks in a row. And Mr. Helix and I went creeping around the local supermarket late at night.
wait a minute. So you guys have been getting delivery the whole time?
No. I mean, we'll go, like, last time I think I went by myself, and I just like stock up, and I had like two carts worth of crap.
Oh my god!
When I was leaving the store.
Oh, so you go shopping for like a month at a time?
Yeah.
Oh no, we have like three stops and we go every week. It is never ending because there's deals at different places.
How much did you spend when you went there?
When I went and I got two carts worth, I spent $400.
Well, you know what? That's $100 a week. That's not terrible.
No, it wasn't terrible. And, you know, I mean, I was buying according to the sales, but there's stuff that I've got to have.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Like, milk goes bad.
Right.
So, around like halfway through the month, you go, all right, we're done with milk. No more milk.
What I would do is, stuff like milk, which I'm the only one that uses it, so, you know, I went to 2% because it lasts just a little bit longer.
Get the skim. The skim milk lasts forever. It's like it's not even milk. It's like somebody just threw some white out in water.
Why to buy it now?
Joe, I don't even know what it's made out of.
Joe, Joe, you're very low. Is there a way to turn up your mic while you're...
Me?
No, Joe is very low. I'm having a hard time hearing Joe. So
how's that?
That's a little better.
Yeah, that's better.
All right.
Beat the mic. Don't be afraid.
Joe's got his ass up. You know, he's got technical issues. He's horsing around with the internet. He's trying to get the audio good. Listen, we've all been there. Come 6:30, the gremlins fuck around. I'm not not mad at Joe. I just, when Joe joins us, I want him to be clear and, if possible, visual. But at the least, clear and loud. All right, so you and Mr. Helix treated yourself to late-night food shopping. Wow.
Yes, we didn't go as late as humanly possible because I thought the store closed a little earlier than it does, but we were, like, out of, like, six other crepes in the store, we were the only people. And also, we deliberately wait until we think nobody else will be there, so we don't like, we for some reason, we always ended up going when it's raining out, like, crazy, and it's misery bringing this stuff in. But this time it was a windstorm, and we figured no one's going out in this. So we two creeps are going out.
What was this, last night?
Storm late.
You went out last night?
Last night.
Monday night, late night food shopping. If there's a time when nobody's at the supermarket, you have found it. I will give you that.
Yes, we have found it, and also the Facebook followers will see now the mask that Mr. Helix was sporting.
Was that a skeleton mask?
Yeah.
Okay. That really speaks to you. Okay.
Well, it does. And so between the cat mask that I have that we've seen before and Mr. Helix's skeleton mask, the two of us now, he's wearing the skeleton and he's got his hood up and I'm bent over because my back hurts. So we look like the biggest freaks going. I mean, normally we do. Mm-hmm. But can you see us, like, creeping around the store buying up all the cat food they have?
Okay. All right. You really are expecting the apocalypse. I'll tell you what. It's hard to get the KN95 mask. We ordered them from China. And,
right.
Like, this place, you know, they had good reviews. People were getting their masks. Never showed up. What happens is they get held up at the border, at the import-export. Sometimes they're not letting these masks in. Because you can't get KN95 is from China. You can't get the N95 masks in this country. You know,
right.
A year into this thing, we still don't have enough masks for people, which fucking blows my mind. Before it was Trump, now it's fucking Biden. I don't understand that. But although I will give Biden credit, before we went on the air, he announced that they enacted the Defense Production Act, and they've gotten Merck and Johnson & Johnson to work together. So Johnson & Johnson is going to help produce the Merck vaccine. I mean, no, excuse me. Merck is going to help Johnson & Johnson produce the Johnson & Johnson, which is the one-shot vaccine. And now Biden says we will have enough vaccines for every adult in America by the end of May. Doesn't mean they'll be able to facilitate it to get into our arms by then, but that is some good news. So kudos to Johnson & Johnson and Merck and the Biden administration, because I cannot wait for this to be over. But yeah, you still can't get masks in this country. You can get the bullshit mask. Hello, Joe. Nice to see you.
Hello.
You can get the bullshit mask, but like if you want to get the mask that they tell you you should really get, and you know, you got to hope they're not counterfeit too. That's another thing with China. China's always a crapshoot. I know all those people. Does anybody in China own anything that's fucking real? I'll tell you what. I bet those aren't even really Chinese people. I bet they're a bunch of Irish people. They're fucking counterfeit Chinese people. It's ridiculous how much counterfeit nonsense they have over there. But you can't even get good masks.
Let me tell you something really interesting. I have to do a little bit more research on this, so this is with a disclaimer. But I fell down the rabbit hole of watching a whole lot of videos about North Korea and what life is like. And
how does one get into that? Do you start watching cute kittens and then it turns into entrees and the next thing you know you're in North Korea?
No. I've been just educating myself about other countries.
Okay.
And so I looked at, you know, like top 10 lists of countries that we're not allowed to visit and top 10 lists of places that are overrated, blah, blah, blah. And so a while back, I got interested in watching the videos of this one particular North Korean defector. And she's this cute little lady, Sun
Some young woman?
S- it's like Xiong. Oh, I get. Remember?
I'm sorry. I'm sitting there going dun 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 dun. Listen, listen. I understand how racist that sounded, but in my defense, Pip was struggling with some. I wasn't going to go there. I had no choice. Pip set me
I
up
was
for
like,
that.
Xiong On Park. I can spit it out. After watching all those damn videos, I'm like, what the hell's her name? All those damn videos. Sung Yoon Park, I think her name was. Right. But she has really good videos talking about what her life was like and what it's really like in North Korea, not for the elite that are in the capital, but the ones that are in the rural areas and such. And it's fascinating stuff. So I watched a couple, a documentary that was done that was award-winning and everything. One of the things that I saw in the documentary was that the woman was from South Korea, but she had a family that she had never met in North Korea, and she'd been living in Germany, so South Koreans are not allowed to go to North Korea, but since she had a German passport, she was allowed to travel, and she met with her grandmother and other people in her family, and she went with them to their work and stuff, and you could see that they would say all the things that they are supposed to say, but you could tell in their eyes, not like they were like kidnap victims, you know, blinking in Morse code, help me, but you could see that they knew some of the stuff they were saying was bullshit, or they had other opinions that they didn't want to say.
You know what? I think when this COVID thing is... thing ends. I'm gonna get you guys some tickets to North Korea. I see a lot of usefulness there. You know, people who know how to bite their tongue and say the right thing. I feel like this could be a good team building exercise for you guys.
wait a second. the one thing that was fascinating though is that one of the people in the family worked in a clothing factory. And the tags that they were sewing into the shirts, the woman who was their family member that was asking them the questions said, oh, shouldn't these tags say made in North Korea? Because they didn't. And she didn't show the tag, but she kind of said, it looked like they said that they were made in China, because... North Korea and China do trade over the bridges between the two countries, and she was saying, I wonder how much of this clothes that we get made in China, how much of it is really made in North Korea?
Well, I can tell you right now, when I was in South Korea, South Korea is well into the counterfeit and pirate crap, like a lot of the jerseys, sports jerseys, a lot of that's made in South Korea, you know, luggage, I got my wife a coach bag, a coach backpack, leather. I mean, the thing's lasted forever. It's a great bag, but it ain't coach. It might be kitsch, but it ain't coach. But I mean, but then I bought like this huge suitcase when I was in South Korea. I don't even think it made it the flight home without starting to lose parts. I mean, every time I would go someplace, I'd lose a wheel here, a handle there, a zipper there. It was the biggest piece of shit. So that's the thing about
quality, huh?
No, you don't know, because like I still have my sports jerseys, which were fine quality. You could get them customized. The coach bag was great, but this suitcase, absolute. Like honestly. I could have made a better suitcase in my basement, and I've never made a suitcase before. But with computer paper, staples, and scotch tape, I could have made a suitcase that lasted.
Are you sure it's not? You sure it's not from dragging it down the stairs at comedy clubs?
Well, there was some dragging. Not from comedy clubs, Joe, but, you know, sometimes it's dragging up the stairs at some of these fucking motels we stay at. But even before that. Like, it didn't survive the flight home. It was already starting to shed stuff.
You get home, you just see this broken suitcase, your shit's all over the carousel.
Yeah, I mean, it held its...
What piece of shit? And you, stupid is waiting, like, 3 hours later when everybody's gone.
Like, that didn't happen.
Putting it together.
But, like, a handle was, like, off, or, like, the zipper stopped working. And, like, this is the one... I understand it's a long trip, but, you know, I'm an American. Can you at least survive from South Korea or Japan? I don't know where I guess, yeah, South Korea was our last destination. Can you at least survive from South Korea to America? And the answer is no. So,
oh. Well, you know those Samsonite commercials where they had the apes beating the crap out of their luggage? This had a little tiny capuchin monkey going,
You know, it's, like it's funny.
The little ones with the drum and the cymbals.
That, that ape was actually Joe's first acting gig. He doesn't like to talk about it, but, you know, that's a young Joe Curry beating the crap. They didn't even ask Joe to, like, beat the crap out of it, but Joe had just come down my stairs where he bumped into shit and knocked over, and there was a Samsonite bag, and the camera started rolling, so Joe just started beating the shit out. He doesn't talk about it, but it was a fine performance by young Mr.
The check cleared, didn't it?
Listen, man, a gig's a gig. Who am I to condemn it?
Exactly.
I mean, honestly, you didn't get hired for another one because you threw feces all over the place. But aside from that...
it was a good gig, though. I mean, it was very naturalistic acting. I loved it.
Listen, Joe is one of these people, he really immerses himself in a role.
I'm a method actor.
You are a method actor. You are. People don't understand that. But Joe's very gifted and talented.
But I'm very interested to learn about the couch bag that you bought for your wife.
The couch bag. Yes.
So did it look and say everything, like the label and everything looks real?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. I mean... Like, I knew it was bullshit, because, like, you're not buying a Coach backpack for $50.
No.
But it was...
God, no.
But it was leather. She still has it. It was a great bag. Let me tell you something. That couch bag, way better than that fucking suitcase I bought. That couch bag has been on many trips. My suitcase, which I think was like $50 or $75, you know, it was bigger. It was the biggest suitcase I ever had. Like I could fit in it comfortably, but then it would disintegrate around me, and then go, why is this creeping half a suitcase? So that's why.
Just know how much wear and tear your bag that you put all your merch in and go to gigs with. I know what happens to them, but even going across the world, the bag is, you know, like in the comic strips where the springs are popping out of it and it's making sploing noises.
Yeah, I'm hard on my bags. Yeah, what are you going to do?
I've heard that.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, I'm hard on the old yam bag there.
That's funny.
All right. So was there a point to this, Pip?
No, just you know that if you go to your local supermarket,
so ends every story.
Yeah,
because like she told me, she went out to the supermarket. I was hoping there was some payoff. If the payoff was just showing the stupid mask.
Well, the coffee creamer. Five alarm alert is over. I have coffee creamer. Everybody can go back to your business.
So you ran out of coffee creamer.
Holy crap! You have no idea. So, we're running out of everything, and that's what forced us to go to the store. But it was the coffee creamer that really pushed the issue. The coffee creamer and the cat food.
I'll tell you something, Joe. Like, she is the worst end of lifer. You know how these like people prepare for Armageddon and shit. Pip goes like halfway. It's like, well, listen, I don't know how long it's going to last, but it better not be more than a month.
Well, I'm not preparing for the end times. I'm just trying to eliminate our exposure.
Oh, funny you say end time. And we're going to do, hopefully next week, we're going to have the new segment where we're going to really get into this. But I was thinking very briefly about the cancel culture. Everybody's like all outraged about cancel culture. And we'll get into a bunch of those stories, hopefully, next week. But if you read the Old Testament, I posted this on Facebook, God was the original one for fucking cancel culture. I mean, he didn't have a sense of humor at all. Firstborn, canceled. Look back at a city fucking being disintegrated, canceled. Nobody bitches. God was the ultimate cancel culture warrior. Nobody says shit about him.
He didn't have patience. I guess he's mellowed with age. because he didn't like a damn thing back there, you know?
No, but nobody says shit about this. They're, oh, so religious to God. Let me tell you something. Old Testament God, a fucking snowflake. A fucking snowflake. You don't do exactly what he wants you to do. You're a pillar of salt. It's some bullshit over there. So, ooh, we lost a Star Wars character. Ooh, we lost some children's books. Listen, motherfucker, at least you're not your firstborn isn't dead because God got his panties in a bunch. It could be a lot worse.
Well, you know what? You got to remember back then he was starting to get things underway. So he plans all this stuff and he wants it to go. And people start fucking it up. And it's like, with any new project, no, damn it, I don't want... Oh, you're a pillar of salt. I've had enough of this shit. And as, you know, as the millenniums go by... You know, he gets to the point where, fuck it, what...
But you know what? But no, Joe, that's not good enough. We're the help. God not only hired us, he created us in his image. So really, God's a screw-up. This is on him. This is, again,
now,
God...
It's a beaten man. It's like a bad day at work.
No.
You know, he lost those two skids. I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. Send it back. Who gives a fuck? I don't care.
No. No, you know what this is?
You're important, and I want heads to roll.
God is... God is playing the victim. Look what everybody's doing to me. Ooh, they're not just idolizing me. Ooh, they're eating pork. You know, they're committing adultery. Look what they're doing to me when it really has nothing to do with him. He's the original victim. God is the original cancel culture, social justice, white male victim. That's what God is. So you really can't get mad at people who do that now.
Put together this big book you're supposed to read. You know, and it's like, all right, here, live it, learn it. Nobody gives a shit about it. You know, I mean, he worked hard on the book, and it's like, nobody cares. He's like,
Joe!
I'm gonna read a book. It's like a...
Well, welcome to the world of self-publishing. What do you want me to tell you?
it's like my economics professor in college. He was this Greek guy. He couldn't understand a fucking word he said. Now he said he wrote the book, and if you complained about the book, he'd get pissed off because he wrote the fucking thing. So it was like dealing with God, you know?
Right, so that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, people like get outraged at like other people who want to cancel certain things. And I've said it's not a right thing, it's not a left thing. Everybody does it. But I'm saying, don't get mad at them. They're being in God's image. This is what God, we're doing God's work. God was the original cancel culture, social justice word. If anything, we've mellowed out. All right, you can't have a rhymy book with a cat now. At least I'm not throwing locusts at you now. It could be a lot worse. So people...
how dare you people try to build a building tall enough to reach me? All kinds of languages, huh?
Yeah, listen, I mean...
Yeah, boy, he hit the roof over that.
Yeah.
Yeah, really?
You gotta have signs all over Home Depot to find a hammer because God got mad several zillion years ago.
And let's be lazy.
Really?
Let's be lazy. He, like, it took... Sometimes it was like that. Sometimes it was instantaneous. Like, I'm gonna turn you into salt. That was instantaneous. Meanwhile, his chosen people are like slaves for like 400 years. It takes them 400 years to decide to cancel the Egyptians. Really? What, were you ruminating on that for a while? I mean, really? I mean, everybody, you know, people are like, oh, we had to walk on eggshells in the Trump administration. Try being around, you know, in the Old Testament times when the big guy's hurling lightning bolts because he doesn't like the way you idolize that golden calf. You know, really?
He flooded city, he flooded the world, he goes up to
truly?
Noah, you got to build this big ark and put the animals in. Are you kidding? What did I just tell you? You're going to drown? You want to throw the mud on there, the door, the camel? Put all that stuff on there, you know, and how am I going to feed it? Don't worry, we'll have Chewy send shit, no, send a boat to you.
And you know what? You know what?
Chewy!
He's like a score, he's like a, like your wife that's testing you, your girlfriend that's testing you, you know? If you really love me, you'll kill your firstborn. What? What? You have to choose, Abraham. Whoa! Slow down! I think we need to see other gods. I mean, it got really heavy, really quick. I mean, what?
Buddha don't care. Buddha just wants to sit there, be back, happy guy. I'm Buddha. Everything was okay. All right. Buddha, are you going to... I don't care. As long as there's chow mein, I can give a shit, you know, and do what you want.
Chow mein.
I'm just going to sit and meditate under this tree. You know, cool.
You know, people...
Everything's cool.
People say Trump was moody, but, you know, maybe Trump was the most godlike leader we've had. I mean, Donald Trump is Old Testament God.
Oh, my God. Did you tap that rock twice? Did you tap it twice?
Like, no, nobody wants to make him sore. That's why they have, you know, the little golden statue at CPAC. I don't know. He likes gold.
Oh, my God.
Maybe he'll like it. By the way, I don't know if anybody saw it. It was artwork. Golden statue. It's got Donald Trump holding a wand, so I think he's running for fairy godmother, in a box, in American flag boxer shorts and flip flops. What? I mean, what type of Donald Trump is this?
I looked at that and I was like, who are they pretending he is? What is that? Surfer dude Trump?
It should be like Axl Rose, because his speech was supposed to start at 3:45. He didn't get on stage till 5. I'm like, who is this guy? Axl Rose?
Well, you know what, Joe?
Best jungle.
You know who you are? Much like Guns N' Roses. Much like Guns N' Roses. Donald Trump knows the people there want to hear the greatest hits, and that's what he did. He rolled out the hits he's been doing for 4 years. So, you know, he gave the people what he wanted. You show up when you show up. He's got all these opening acts. I mean, it was CPAC is Republican Palooza. You know, they open with the comedian Ted Cruz. Oh, my God. What an open micer he is. Freedom! Oh, my God. I wish I was free to never hear you say that. I mean, he's doing jokes about Cancun. Meanwhile, you got AOC in your state raising $5 million. AOC is raising $5 million for you people, and you're making jokes. Ugh, but I don't want to talk about CPAC.
You know what? I got to mention one thing. Yeah, I mean, I don't like AOC, but however, he's trying to raise money, and meanwhile, Cruz is trying to put together a tight five.
He actually had, Ted Cruz actually, in his little stand-up spiel, actually had the temerity to make fun of AOC, like being afraid for her life during the insurrection. As we just pointed out, hey, stupid, she was in your state raising $5 million. Beto O'Rourke, who you barely beat, was there helping people while you're blaming your kids. While you're blaming your kids for going to Cancun. I mean, really.
Let me tell you something. I might have discussed this. I called him out for doing that. And a lot of you know, the conservatives, if they're nailing me, you know, this guy, I go, no, maybe you don't know me. I'm one of the most conservative people out there. You need to be there. And you know, I was talking with that with Andy. He goes, well, you know, he doesn't do much. I go, I don't care. Even if you make a phone call and shuffle some papers across your desk, at least you're in your office and at least you're in the state while there's a crisis going. Even if you're not doing shit, look like you're doing shit.
Yeah.
That's what you got to look
Yeah.
at, you know?
Well, I mean, listen.
I was very critical. I caught shit from a lot of the conservatives about it.
Because your pals are brainwashed. I don't even know why you talk to these people. I don't talk to them anymore. You're one of the few conservatives I still talk to. I don't know why. They're brainwashed. Here's how brainwashed they are, and I don't want to do a whole political thing tonight. So here's what was going on. So from Syria, an Iranian militia launched missiles into Iraq, which injured one of our service people, injured other Americans, injured Iraqis, and killed a United States contractor. That's what the Iranian-backed militias did. So what Biden does is he launches a missile strike on that militia, takes out 9 buildings, and I think they killed one Iranian militia guy. All of a sudden, all the conservatives, oh, now we're starting war. When the hell did conservatives want us to be a bunch of pussies? Why am I now the hawk? No, you take one of us, we're taking two of you. I mean, that was always, listen, I was always on the wrong end of that with liberals, but now the conservatives want to dance through the hills with daffodils, and the liberals are like, fucking take it. It's mind-blowing.
It really has changed. It's like whatever your group thinks, you know, people tend to go, oh, well, yeah, you know, the group think is eternal. It's like you can't think for yourself. You can't break from the herd and go, no, that's kind of fucked up.
No, I'll give you another one. Listen, everybody, every liberal should be criticizing Cuomo. Every liberal.
Yeah.
And we spoke glowingly about him for the past year on this show. Now, he's got three women who've who've accused him of sexual harassment. Although, to be fair...
I believe it's four.
Oh, well, then that another woman that just happened. Although, to be fair, some of it... I don't... Like, he put his hand on the back of a woman at a wedding and asked if I could kiss you. Creepy? Yes. Is it sexual harassment? I don't think that's sexual harassment. I think...
Well, you want to... You know what? Yeah, and I'm looking at it the same way you are because, like I said, I don't want to look at all... The allegations that were made when Kavanaugh went in and stuff like, you know, and this woman, and then turn around, oh, yeah, he's guilty. No. I'm looking at each case and going, all right, look, you know, all right, people are coming out of the woodwork. We need to look at this. And I hate the son of a bitch. I can't.
But you used to love him. You used to like him.
I hate him when he started closing everything and started with the condescending tone and being holier than thou. I started to dislike him a lot. Yeah, and yes, before this whole pandemic started, and watching him the way he was doing it, especially as of late, I dislike him now.
So every liberal that was up in arms about Kavanaugh and Trump. You got to be up in arms about Cuomo. Now, you got to see the way this shakes out. I feel like they jumped the gun on Al Franken. But you got to see the way this shakes out with Cuomo. That being said, I do not want to see conservatives or Republicans that stood by Trump these 4 or 5 years all of a sudden piling on about the sexual harassment with Cuomo. I'm not listening to you, whether it be locker room talk or it's politically motivated, nay. So that's what I'm talking about, the groupthink. I'm looking at what Cuomo's doing here. I'm like, all right, first we got – I can live with the dead seniors. Not that I want to. If you go, all right, we didn't know. We screwed up our bad. It's when you start covering shit up, and Pitt pointed this out today on Facebook, when you start covering this shit up, then now I think, all right, now it's worse. Now you can't even own it. Now you can't even go, listen, it was the beginning of the days, we did it wrong, there wasn't a lot of guidance, we were feeling pressure from the federal government, we know better now, it's terrible. You do that, fine, but don't gaslight us for all these months, and don't write a book. Don't write a book about how successful you were, which you know, he wrote a book months ago, I think in last year, about how successful
New
York,
how
successful New York was at handling the COVID-19 while we were in the middle of it. We're still in the middle of it. I mean, the amount of pompousness. That's why I said Cuomo is like Donald Trump with brains. He bullies other politicians, sexual harassment.
And the thing about Cuomo is if you ask, well, Joe, what pissed you off about Cuomo and changed your whole opinion? You just that would have been my answer. You just that would have been the whole thing for those reasons,
right? You know?
I also
I'm sorry.
What he did. Oh, I'm sorry, Pep. What were you saying?
No, finish your thought first.
Oh, I also don't like what he did. With the clubs, I mean, and bar establishments, when they said, okay, here are the regulations to open your establishment. You have to adhere to these things. It's going to cost you money. And then you have establishments, Governors is one of them, and restaurants and bars, that went out and not only went there, but to make the patrons feel that it was safe that to be there, they went over what the recommendations were to ensure their patrons were safe. Cuomo goes, you know what? Any establishment that has ticketed of any venue with ticketed sale, nah, we're going to close them down. You know, after these people spent thousands and thousands of dollars, after the Nassau County executive called him and told him, I'm in these establishments, they're fine. And you know, it just shows that he could care less about business people. He really doesn't. And when they are going out and setting up and abiding by the law and exceeding what the law says.
I'm not going to go as far as saying he could care less about business people. I do agree with you. We've talked about this numerous times. He's never shown us why we couldn't have comedy shows outside. I had no problem. I mean, I had no problem with him shutting down the clubs inside. I got that. But he's never shown us why you couldn't have outside music or outside comedy. You know, and I'm not talking about these fakakta tents that are not tents, that are another establishments that they put in the parking lot. Because to me, now you're inside, outside. But there are plenty of places.
That's,
There are plenty of, like, you would, people doing it on rooftops, in the park, in parking lots, drive-in stuff where people are in the car. I didn't understand that. But Cuomo's had a bad run. A lot of these governors have had a bad run. DeSantis has, now, I don't want to get into all this political stuff. But yeah, but my point is, you need to be consistent. So that's all I'm saying. I don't like sexual harassment and rape when a Republican does it, and I don't excuse it, and I'm not going to do it when Cuomo does it. But I don't want to hear from all the people excusing Trump piling on Cuomo. You don't get that right. It was the same thing when, like, the senators, because they're doing hearings now for Biden's cabinet, and one of them, Neera Tanden, had a hard time because she had a bunch of mean tweets about Republicans. Which we could do without. But she had a bunch of mean tweets about Republicans. And now all of a sudden all the Republican senators are, my word, these mean tweets, whatever will we do? I get the vapors. I didn't know you could say that in 180 characters or less. Meanwhile, when every time Donald Trump would tweet something, nope, have no idea, didn't see it. Shut the fuck up.
But you want to know something, what you are seeing. After the whole Trump administration, when they would drag every little thing out, And now the Democrats, you know, are doing it in essence. You could kind of see that in politics, it's just business as usual with that stuff.
A lot of it is, although
during the Trump administration, it's getting a lot worse.
No, it's not. It's not getting worse. No, it's not getting worse. But I mean, for a lot of them, it's business. Listen, there's no defending Andrew Cuomo right now. I do think the Biden administration, listen, Obama had the cleanest administration. It's the only administration we've had in modern times where nobody was brought up on charges. I am confident that Biden is going to do the same thing. They are pushing for this Neera Tanden woman. Apparently she's very qualified, but she's very partisan. Listen, they want to get her through. That's fine. Do I want my people in the cabinet, tweeting like that beforehand? No, I think it's in poor taste. But you know what? It's like we talked about this years ago. I go, well, if the Republicans are going to do it, don't be surprised when the Democrats do it. So that's what happens when you put the outrage.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. And I remember us discussing. You know, God, we've been doing this a while, huh?
Yeah, but no, but that's where we're at now.
I'm not having that discussion.
Yeah. So
you know, and it's kind of that we've been doing the show long enough. We're starting to, you know, we're seeing things that we've discussed in past years start to come to fruition. Yeah, it's politics.
I have come to the realization that very often the people who I want in leadership do not have the moral integrity that I would prefer. I've also come into the realization that the vast majority of Americans don't give a shit as long as it's somebody on their team. So I'm in the minority. What am I going to do? Kick and scream about angry tweets after 4 years of Trump? No, I don't like that she did it. I think it's in poor taste. But what I mean, listen, we were barraged by it every day with Donald. I mean, so that's where we are. So, but now Joe Biden has a decision to make. Joe Biden said we're going to do a different type of administration. So perhaps Joe Biden should be the one that removes her. I mean, that would really say something if Joe Biden said, "You know what? We're going to pull this back."
Well, there are several things, and it's you kind of alluded to something that you posted. It's in regards to the whole thing with Saudi Arabia on not really saying things about that journalist that got killed,
Khashoggi.
Khashoggi.
I'm
sorry?
Khashoggi is...
Yeah, oh. Right.
Bless you.
There it was.
And obviously there's been a lot of talk about it, and you know, the Trump administration got criticized for not doing anything. The Biden administration is getting criticized for the same thing, and the reality of it is that Saudi Arabia is an ally. They're not the greatest people in the world, which a lot of our allies aren't, but sometimes, you know, to keep situations calm, you have
Listen,
to look the other way.
I understand they're an important ally, but they need us more than we need them. That's what America forgot in the past 4 years. Because people believed this faux toughness, but we weren't tough. We were a bunch of pussies. We're still the biggest bitch on the block. We still run this yard. So the head of your country is going to put a hit on somebody who's a journalist who's working in our country? No, I don't give a shit. You had George W. Bush holding hands with those motherfuckers after their pilots flew their planes into our buildings. You have Trump going, oh no, there's no conclusive evidence. We know who fucking did it. And then you have Biden go, well, we're gonna go after everybody else but the guy. No, you go after the guy. You know, listen, you're not, obviously you're not going to kill him or anything like that, but you're going to sanction him. Go, you can't do this. We want to have a relationship with you, but it's going to be on our terms. You want to be treated like a first world country. We're going to behave like civil human beings. You don't like the journalist when he's writing? Ignore him. You're an adult. Just because you can kill somebody and cut them up with a bone saw doesn't mean you should kill somebody and cut them up with a bone saw. I don't really know how much was going on with Obama and Saudi Arabia. There wasn't that much of the scandals, but between W and Trump and now Biden with the pussyfooting, I've had it with Saudi Arabia. Fuck them.
The only thing is, there might, you know, there are things you might not be aware of.
There's plenty. There's a lot of things.
Out of an Oval Office that might be intricate.
Then you know what, Joe? Joe,
to our relationship with Saudi Arabia.
Then don't release the report. And nobody was talking about this shit. Trump got away with not releasing it, so don't even revisit it. If you're not going to do the right thing, then what's the point?
Yeah, well, you know,
sir,
Pip would like to be called on.
The woman from New York would like to be acknowledged on the floor, sir.
Hey, do you like kissing older guys? How about a hug? When was the last time you hugged somebody?
Get your hands off my face, you old mug. I'm sorry.
I think girls are my 20s.
I like Andrew. I'm sorry if they misinterpreted my creepiness. Anyway, go on, Pip.
Well, one of the things about Saudi Arabia that is... I'm angry. I'm still angry about the fact that journalist Khashoggi was killed on our soil.
He was killed in the Saudi embassy in another country. Wasn't killed in our soil.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. But they killed a journalist.
Yes,
they're not allowed to do that. However, I have to concede that I don't know all the inner workings of the diplomacy with them, and I know that they are a key factor in that region because they're one of our very few allies, however distasteful,
you know what?
In that really incendiary region.
No.
We have to have some place where we can put our troops.
Actually, she's right, because I was listening to WR, and Alex Christianos, who is an analyst with the situation, they were discussing that. And he said exactly that. No, they're not great people. However, there are intricacies in our relationship.
Listen.
And sometimes you have to go along
those
you really don't want to.
That's what they want you to think. Meanwhile, they have these madrasas there that are teaching them the radical Islam. Meanwhile, it was their citizens that put pilots that drove into our buildings. Those are not allies. Israel's an ally. Canada is an ally. Jordan is an ally. Egypt. Well, Egypt used to be an ally. I don't know what the fuck they are now. But we have allies. Germany is an ally. Those are allies. Saudi Arabia is kind of like China. We got to do shit with them, but let's not call them an ally. So therefore, they should not get the same courtesy.
Wouldn't you entertain over four administrations that they've been, you know, that we've been keeping things at status quo with them, that there might be something there that we need?
We're energy independent, so we don't need their oil. Here's what it is: if they don't buy their weapons from us, they'll buy them from China or Russia. That's really what it's coming. It's down to money. And I'm saying, if you're America, if you want to be the big shiny city on the hill, like we all like to pretend that we are, then sometimes you got to go, fuck it. No, we're standing up for this. You go to the king, who's, you know, he's not much longer for power anyway. You go, either you deal with this or we're going to deal with it. But this cannot stand.
That's the thing that I don't know, though. Irks me that we don't always know everything that's at play.
No, that's fine. We don't need to know everything. That's fine.
No, I know. But I mean, as lay people, there's, like Joe was saying, there's got to be some reason why we keep going back to them. And look, if we're talking about allies versus enemies, if we're going to black and white it, I call them an ally. I understand, because of all the different things that we've just illuminated, that they're a lot more gray, but they're not North Korea on that scale, if you know what I'm saying.
They're not North Korea. I will give you that.
You, you, you know, they're not even like the, you know, I almost said Soviet Union. Holy shit. They're not Russia. But the thing is that we don't know, as lay people here, why we've been working this dance of diplomacy with them for this long. But I have to grant that there are things that are in that book, that three-ring binder that every president gets the first day, and they say, okay, here's the real shit. And they open it up, and they say, oh, my God, and instantly start graying. Because there's got to be something that we don't understand.
And it's not even a Democrat or a Republican thing. You've had two Democratic administrations and two Republican administrations.
Right.
It's an inherent thing that transcends policy.
And you know what's consistent? You know what's consistent? Saudi Arabia does whatever the fuck they want. They dragged us into that war in Yemen. Thank God Biden has... That's one of the things Biden has said. That's one of the things because he goes, we're no longer supporting that war. So, I mean, thank God for that. Listen, I mean, enough. Either you should... The shiny city on the hill or everything's fucking gray. And if everything's gray, don't release that report. Because all that does is that upsets his widow all over again. You know, now she's like, wow, now I'm now with two administrations. Nobody's getting a judgment for my fiance. It upsets his family again. What was the point of that? What was the point? If you're not going to go all the way, if you're not going to do what needs to be done, then you know what? That's just another thing that got fucked up under the Trump administration as your talking point.
What he might have done, as a guest, he might have released that figuring the Biden administration was going to take a different tact. And now, why the whole to do is
that doesn't get released without the Biden administration. The Trump administration wouldn't let that be released. Trump was outright lying about what was in there. So what I'm saying is, if you're not prepared to do what's right with the where you know the intelligence is pointing to the prince there, if you're not prepared to do what's right, then just leave it. We have other shit to worry about. There's no reason to release that report. You could just leave that in the Trump era. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, Joe, what's going on with you?
Well, I was on Friday, I was at the Comedians of the Compound. It was down at Soul Joel's, down in Royersford, PA. It was a nice setup. It looks like an airplane hangar. It's open on both sides. It's like a, you know, covering. And it was fun. There was about, God almighty, over 250 people there. It was packed. And basically, I'm going up, and I have Gino Bisciante that's on stage, and Gino is destroying. I mean, he's leveling the place, and there were some freight trains that went by. He actually took the freight train, ripped on the freight train, leveled the room and stuff like that. And then Aaron Burr comes up to me, goes, you're up next," and I'm there. I'm like, "Okay," and I'm like, "I am beyond fucked. How am I freaking out, you know?" And I was like, "Holy cow, boy, oh boy!"
So, oh, that's really harsh.
And I'm doing 15, and I'm like, "Okay." And I got up. I figured it out. I got up there. I addressed the situation. I get up there. I go, "Really? I gotta go. I gotta follow Gino destroying three freight trains, a half-empty bottle of Jameson. Are you fucking kidding me?" What helped was people were going, you know, going flying front. I was getting on stage, and I'm like, "All right." So I got an in. So I wound up, and I did my set. I had a great set. I had a great set, and I wound up meeting the guy that does Joel who books it. And I asked him, you know, I said goodnight. I go, I just want to say goodnight. I'm joking. "Oh no, I know about you. You did a great job tonight." So I asked him. I go, "So when this all is over, I go, if I could send my avails, yeah, absolutely," and stuff like that. So it was a good night. Now, there was
great.
It was great. One small thing that I did not notice that was picked up on when on the way to the gig. Now, Davin, when we've been on the road together quite a few times, in the car, regardless if it's my car or your car, is the GPS unit. And regardless whether who's driving to the gig, is a map, or the directions are a map. We keep them, and the reason we keep the map is sometimes the GPS, if it doesn't calibrate right or something like that, a GPS could pull you almost an hour or over out of where you're going.
It can.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. Right, so you're running late for a gig. You know, you're thinking you're at the gig. You got to be report time at 7 o'clock. It's 7 o'clock, and you're 80 miles away because the GPS screwed you. So what we'll do is we will keep a copy of the map and look at the map just to make sure the GPS is coinciding with the map. Okay, so we're on the road, and I'm riding with Anthony. Anthony and I rode down together. And we're at the rest stop. I had to take a leak, so we're at the rest stop, and I take out the map, and I look at it, and I just have to note that I'm taking exit 6 off the Jersey Turnpike. It's the same way we go when we're doing
Comedy Works.
So it's 6, and then I'm going up to 278, and then running that to Royce Road. I just need to know that exit and to make sure that's it, and the GPS is coincide. Anthony sees that. And he takes a picture of it, and there is like an internet site he puts it on, and he starts goofing on me about it, right? So I'm listening to the show yesterday, and Anthony goes, it was a great show, and he goes, and the one thing is, Joe Curry has a map. He's looking at a map. And I go, are you kidding me? The last time we had a map was 1985. He goes, I posted on this thing and stuff like everybody's left. And I go, who uses a map? And I'm driving in the car, and I'm like, I got to call the show. And I called the show, and I go, oh, he goes, oh, Magellan's on the phone.
And I'm like, that's what I was thinking.
What's new, Christopher Columbus? And I'm explaining. I go, Ant. I go, when we were on the road with the band, it was a long, we didn't have GPS. We had a map. I go, and I explained it. I go, you're a brilliant comic mind. But you don't gig. You'll do this stuff, but you don't regularly gig. And I explained it to him. I go, all comics will agree. You need to just have the map. It's just to make sure that the GPS isn't screwing up. I got my balls busted. I've got people sending me pictures of a copier. Here's Joe getting ready for a gig. They're doing a segment today, and they show a copy machine. Oh, there's Joe Curry getting ready for his show.
People still use photocopy machines.
Yeah, well, they're saying for his, he's taking paper maps with him instead of using a GPS or his phone or something.
I mean, listen, I was never a map guy.
It was exit six off of the thruway, and then the 278 exit off of Kings of Prussia. That's all I wanted to look at. And he's like, he's busting my balls like I'm charting the new world. Yeah.
Yeah, but he don't go anywhere. He's got people driving for him. He goes from the city to the island, back and then down to AC to gamble, or up to Connecticut to gamble. He's not driving.
That's it. I mean, he hasn't been in a, and I mean, and with us sometimes, and when you and I go on the road, we're cutting. You know, we're traveling a long time, and we're getting to the gig maybe an hour and a half before the show. And we're cutting it damn close. Well, one of the times is when the flight got delayed going to Vegas, and we had to drive to Laughlin, and there was absolutely, positively no fucking room for error. Because we made that show within minutes.
Oh my god! Oh my god! I
drive fast.
We jumped in the car. We had to be at sound check or the sound check at a certain time, and there was not a minute. You know. And I was also explaining when I do the Santa Claus gigs, because especially on Christmas Eve, you know, she'll have me doing 5 shows, and there's only a 30-minute window you could screw up. And I had the map, because one time I had to be up in northern Jersey. The damn GPS took me down by the Goffles Bridge.
Did you?
Took me up by 20 minutes, screwed up the whole night.
It does crazy stuff. Lisa said the Rand McNally days.
The GPS.
Yeah, right.
The GPS is like Old Testament God. It is a fickle thing.
It is.
It will change its mind. I've said it before, and then we'll take our first break. I was in Wisconsin. Me and Dennis Ross. We had just flown in, I think. So I got the rental car. We have to get to this gig. It's snowing heavily. I got the GPS. On the GPS had a shortcut cut for us. I was going over like bunny slope things, like I was like the moguls. All of a sudden, I'm like on a ski road. It's not a road. It's like something called an unmarked road where I'm dodging snow moguls and I'm going in and out of moguls. Like this clearly was not meant for a vehicle, but the GPS goes, ah, for shits and giggles, let's go this way. And I don't know. I didn't have a map. So.
And not only that, if you're working down Lancaster Way or something like that, you go and you get on to Route 202 in Pennsylvania, For some reason, the GPS fails to realize they built the road, and if your GPS is a certain age, you're driving through a field.
Yeah.
You're on a brand new fucking highway, but you're driving through a field with this fucking thing. You know?
The GPS is a scared of that highway. I think it thinks that highway's like haunted. It's like, all right, we're gonna cut through the field over here. Don't worry. Don't pay no attention to the children of the corn. Keep on going. You'll get there. And like, it's funny because you see the little GPS car like trying to get back onto the road, but the GPS guy is like, no, keep on going. Oh, look, a body of water. Let's go through that now.
We were in Scotland, and the GPS told us we were on a road, and all of a sudden, it's narrowing, and we got to a point where there were two trees that there's no way a car could go through them. I'm like, this is not a real road. So we had to, like, navigate and do the world's most awkward, muddy U-turn ever next to a horse looking over the fence at us going, what the hell are you doing?
People have like...
I hope Ant one time is writing to me to a gig and you go down that road in the middle of nowhere and there's a dead end and you just hear, you've reached your destination.
How many times does it say you've reached your destination? It says you've reached your destination. You're still miles away. But, you know, to be fair, that you don't really need the Rand McNally now because you have the GPS and the Waze. So you can kind of play them off of each other because the chances of them of both being screwed up are very small.
And it wasn't even a map. It's Microsoft Roads or whatever that I have on my computer. I downloaded, printed off my computer. So it's not that I got a big Rand McNally map because those maps really aren't helpful. I get the detailed map where everything is and stuff like that, and I keep it and I use it like a teddy bear just in case because we've been doing this for years and years and years. And there is that the one time when you got the map and you just make the gig. He doesn't realize that.
He don't know.
He's not a working comic.
Listen, Anthony is like a stand-up comic, like these special events are. He doesn't know from the grinding. He's got even better. They're there to see him. They're there to see him. No. Come with us, Ant. Come where places where they don't know you. And there's plenty of those places. We'll put you up there. You do your little 15-20 up front. Let's see what happens, Ant. And no, you drive. You're the new guy. You drive. We'll chip in for gas.
I bet you'll be stuck between two trees with a horse looking at you and laughing.
Yeah.
You know, it is, you know, it's his event, but sometimes, and, you know, when you decide to get the GPS, I mean, you hear the comic, you know, comics tell the story, you know, you have the girl on the phone at the venue, and it's like, look, it's exit, do you know, I'm not sure, how did you get there? You know,
yeah, that happens a lot.
There was a gig I did, the one time I said, fuck it, I'm getting a GPS, is there was a gig, and this woman, I still, to this day, I'd be looking for this gig. He got on the phone with me. She knew where I was, how to get there, and I gave her a hug when I got there. Man, I'm like, I never would have found this place. And right after that, I went. That was a Saturday night, Sunday, and went right to Best Buy. I got a fucking GPS, man. That was no masa, you know.
That's the great thing. Right. That's the great thing about this pandemic. I get a lot less lost now. You know, going down from the bedroom through the living room to the basement. I mean, once in a while, I wind up outside, and I don't know how that happened. But you know, the neighbors escort me back into the house, and they return me to my guardian. But you know, I get lost a lot less now.
All right. And so, by the way, that lady that you hugged, she's filing charges.
Yes.
But you know that's the funny thing. I got to the gig. I go up. It's like it looks like the odds are stacked against me. You have a good set, but and all of a sudden this thing I didn't know about, I get my balls busted. About well, you know, thank God I had a good set. That's all that counts.
No, I don't know why. I don't know why you say the odds are stacked. The odds are stacked against you. They're already laughing. They know who you are. Odds weren't stacked against you. You know what you're doing. Stop it. Stop it.
But I tell you, Don Jameson was in the show. Now, Don Jameson also did the Fragile Sky filming the week prior. And I was telling the story last week how I was having anxiety attacks, you know, during the taping for some dumb reason. And I grabbed Don and I go, I got to go up right now and follow Gino. And I go, do you understand? I'm less stressed than I was when we were filming the damn dancing last week. Weird.
That's the funny thing about Gino, man. Gino's one of these guys. There's no in between as an audience for Gino. I've seen Gino do, as Joe said, you know, do great, and then I've seen him where the audience is not having it, and they just walk out on it. He's one of those acts where the audience is, we either love this guy or we are not having it.
He was destroying.
Yeah, good for Gino. Good for Gino. All right, let's take our first break. On the break, we got new music from Alex James Brierley with Icy Cold, and you can learn more about them at Deuce Music, and new music from DJ Nicholas, DJ Combo, and Graffezi with Big Money, and you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. When we come back, an anchor got in trouble because he doesn't think Fatty Boom Baladi should be jumping the line to get the COVID vaccine. He got in trouble about that. We'll see if we agree with him or not. See what the folks said. That was a poll. A white woman gets in trouble for being called the N-word. Yeah, that's a thing. And listen, you hot, sexy MILFs, you. Stop posting on OnlyFans. You're going to screw your kids out of an education. At least it happened to one family. Talk about that. Scammers. Much more. Short break. We'll